2 + 2 = 4. Right? You drop a little, what is that little thing in science projects, people, science people. Drop that little thing into a bottle of soda. Mentos. Pop one of those babies in. It's going to go up every time. Right? That's just what happens. Basic stuff. Taco Bell was founded in, 1962, folks. This is basic information. This is a football, all right? This is a football, plain and simple. Basic stuff. And what I think sometimes happens in our in Christianity, in the church, we sometimes overcomplicate things. I know I do. I think I was reflecting on some of my sermons this past year, and I've been thinking about how sometimes I've made them so complicated. And I get so excited as I'm learning and diving in, and there's so much material and there's so much going on. Even this week, even today, my tendency is to get complicated with stuff. And quite honestly, I'm still nervous, honestly, about it. Because there's so much stuff, and it's so cool, and it's so awesome. And it's just like the greatest stuff, and you're learning all this stuff. And I just want to share it all. But at some point, it's just like, we just got to go back to some of the basic stuff. And so I hope that this series helps the person who's like brand spanking new in the faith. I hope this helps somebody who's like maybe wondering or not, is this something I want to embark down this journey? But you got to remember, Vince Lombardi comes into professional athletes. They've been playing football their whole lives. And he says, listen, guys, yeah, I get it. That's great. That's cool. We're paying you lots. This is a football. And we have to start kind of there. There's going to be a lot of things we'll talk about. There's a lot of things we're going to learn. But this is a football. It's so fundamentally important. And so I was thinking to myself, where do I want to start this series? Well, I want to start at the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. That's where I want to start. Check it out. Genesis 1, 1. If you don't have a Bible, just a reminder, you can grab a Bible on your way out. We're just giving away our Bibles. So you just grab one if you need a Bible, okay? We try to get you hooked up with some good ones. But we got, like, everything on the screen, too, if you need that this morning. Check this out. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, there's actually so stinking much going on here. Yeah, it's crazy. In the beginning, God created. How do we keep this basic? Well, it's that basic. In the beginning, God created. You, follow me here, you are a creature. God is the creator. That distinction between creature and creator is critical and incredibly, it has incredible implications for your life, plain and simple. You are a creature. God is creator. That distinction, God created, has incredible implications for our life. There's three things I want to talk about today, three quick points, okay? And they're actually pretty quick this morning. My first point is that God makes stuff happen. God makes stuff happen. There's a Latin word, okay? There's a Latin word called ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. Out of nothing. God makes stuff happen. That's my first point. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God makes stuff happen. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. I want to just share quick two little Bible verses with you. Hebrews 11, verse 3 says this: "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that is what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." And then jump with me to Colossians, okay? Check out Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 16. I love this. "For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth." Now, here, it's actually a very close connection to Jesus. This is Jesus he's talking about here. "For by him," by Jesus, "all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." He is the creator. This is basic stuff. Okay? This is, hey, this is a football. And part of me wants to get really complicated today, because I love this conversation complicated. Okay? I love the philosophical talk around it. I love that stuff, like, so stinking much. But especially for our kids in the room, listen, God created you. He is your creator. We are creatures before him. And there's something incredibly basic about this. And this idea of God creating out of nothing, I think what's so powerful about this is that as we look at our lives, okay, as we look at our lives, isn't it true that oftentimes we want God to work with what's already there? And oftentimes we look at what's already there and we say, there's not much to work with here. That might be your marriage. There's not much to work with here, Lord. Can you do anything here? It might be the relationship you have with your family. There's not a whole lot to work with here. It might be your finances. And you're looking at it, and you look at the bank account, and you're like, what can God do with this? He can't do anything. There's nothing to work with. See, when we have a God who can actually create out of nothing, all of a sudden, the problem in front of you is always smaller than the God who's behind you. You got that one? Okay, that's so critical. That's just kind of an intro point. Where I really want to go is point two. But God makes stuff happen. So this morning, if you're feeling like nothing's happening, I would challenge you to stop and think, wait a second, you're not the creator. You're just the creature. And it's God who makes stuff happen. Second point. We matter. We matter. We actually matter to God. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. So this is in the beginning again, okay? Creation stuff. Verse 31, look at this. This is after God had made everything, and he says this: "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." God takes God creates the world good. He puts value on it. He says, this is something that I have made and I am intricately part of, and I care about it. Check out Proverbs chapter 8, and I want to read this to you. I don't have it on the screen. I just want you to listen. Proverbs chapter 8 says this. Listen to this. Proverbs 8. when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman. And I was his daily delight, rejoicing before him always. Rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. He's talking about creation being a delight for God. Intricately connecting things like beauty and peace. Things like love. The very word of joy being attached to creation. Looking at this world and we're able to see the joy of how God created it, his delight in it, how much he loves and cares about creation. He loves it. See, so oftentimes we ask this question, don't we? You and I, we've asked this question. Why is there evil in this world? You ever ask that question? I have. Why is there evil in this world? Why do bad things happen? Let me ask you this question. Why is there good things in this world? Why are there good things? Why is there beauty? Where does love come from? Where does joy come from? Now, I'm actually pushing you. If you're a thinker, I'm pushing you. Where do these things come from? Where do they come out of? See, there's different narratives that the world and our culture lives its life by. And one of those narratives is this narrative that focuses in on essentially, and I think the best word for it is power. I want to say chance, but I think that's a little too simplistic. I think the better word is power. We're actually out of maybe something, this whatever it might be, spinning or something, some material spinning, does something, and then power, raw energy, stuff happening, okay? Protons, neutrons, stuff at a biological, cosmic kind of level. Stuff happens in this powerful way, okay? So that what? So that we can just kind of like claw our way towards some kind of own survival. We actually try to, violent forces, I'm just trying to get my kind of wording right here, violent forces clawing their way towards their own survival. And as I look at that, as I hear that narrative, to me, even just as a thinker, take Christ out of it, it's not convincing. It's not convincing to me. Because where is beauty in that? Where is love? Where is hope in that? This morning, if you're not exactly sure where you land on maybe some kind of why are we here kind of level, I would challenge you to think very hard. I would challenge you to think very hard and long about beauty and love and hope, and some of these words that you actually believe. But when lined up underneath your worldview, it doesn't fit. Do you see what I'm saying there? Now, see, I just went to not basic maybe. Sorry. I'm not trying to not do that. I'm just trying to say, all I'm trying to say is, where does this come from? Where is love? Where is beauty? And in the creation narrative, the biblical text, the Christian perspective is one where God creates with delight. One of the most amazing pictures to me comes in Genesis 2:7, where God takes his hands and he boom, plunges it into the ground. What does it say? You see that? He plunges it into the ground and he starts messing with the dirt. And he starts interacting with the dirt in order to what? Form man. Wow, that's powerful. That is, man, early Gnosticism, okay, in the early church. This is this idea that matter is evil, material is bad, and the church had to combat this early on, okay? And it had to say, what are you talking about? God is interacting with the material. He's interacting with the matter. He loves it. He's delighting in it. He's created it. And he's doing this with it. And he forms man with incredible delight. And so when we look at evil things in the world and we start to get pressed on, oh my goodness, what are we going to do next? There is incredible hope in the Christian narrative that God is going to do something. Why? Why would he do something? Because he made it. It's his. I'm telling you right now, there is a bench in my house. Okay, there's a lot of things in my house. If you took a baseball bat or something to it, no big deal. There is a bench that you couldn't sell for $10 on Amazon or something, okay? There is a bench in my house that if you were to put a scratch on it, I'd get angry. Why? I made it. Now, I'm telling you, this is a piece of junk bench, okay? There's nothing cool about this bench at all. I mean, you couldn't sell it for $10. But you do something to my bench, I'm going to get ticked off. Why? I made it. I delight in my bench. I love my little bench. It took a lot of work. It took a lot of screws. It took a lot, you know. I love my bench. And the fact that God incorporates beauty and care and love into this world collides right up against social injustice. It collides right up against the racial tension that's in our world today. It collides right up against this lack of peace that's everywhere. It collides right up against all this stuff. And we look and we say, yeah, but there's hope. Yeah, but you got to understand, there's a God who showed up to do something about it because he loves his creation. This is why he came. This is why Jesus, this is me getting a little carried away, not getting super basic, but here, this is why Jesus put on flesh. He puts on flesh so that he might begin to actually redeem his creation. Already now. This is the importance of the cross. This is the importance of him rising from the dead to bring you forgiveness, to bring you hope, to begin to go up against racial problems, to go up against the social injustices that are out there, to go up against all these kinds of things. Jesus comes in the flesh to begin to even recreate now. I'm not going there because I can't. I don't have time. But here's